Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. Here are your hosts, Olivia Reiner and Tom Silverstein. Welcome everyone to the Packers News JS Online Green 19 podcast alongside Tom Silverstein. I am Olivia Reiner. It is NFC Championship for the second straight year. The Packers are headed back to the NFC Championship game, this time to face off against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We will preview that matchup, talk about the Packers week 6 loss to the Buccaneers in just a moment. Before we get into that, though, I want to spend some time discussing former general manager Ted Thompson, who passed away last night. We are recording this on Thursday, so he passed away on Wednesday night at the age of 68. And Tom, I wanted to talk to you about Thompson and the tremendous legacy that he leaves behind on the Packers organization. The very first thing that comes to mind when thinking about Ted Thompson is the fact that he spent his first round pick in 2005 on quarterback Aaron Rodgers. However, his legacy is more than just that. When you think of Ted Thompson, how do you remember him?
Well, I think of him as maybe one of, as probably the most astute drafter, I guess is the word. My fried brain won't come up with the correct word, but he was as astute as any general manager they've had in the college draft, and that includes Ron Wolf. Ron Wolf's strength was that he could mine talent from all over the league in all different ways, but Ted Thompson's focus was the draft, and he was really good at it. And, you know, he had some misses toward the end, and that angered a lot of Packers fans, but you know what, the response today that I've seen, at least on Twitter, so many people were thanking him for what he had done for the organization. And I think the group that was really hypercritical of him is in the minority. I think people realized he led them to a Super Bowl, and he did it with his guys, mostly his guys. He had a few Ron Wolf guys, but they were mostly his. And that's a real credit to him. And I think the list of players that he acquired, and then you look at how many are on this team that's going to play on Sunday, and that's pretty remarkable. I mean, high-end players.
Yeah, let's talk about that list. Thompson's very last first round pick back in 2017 was defensive tackle Kenny Clark, who's clearly still with the team and just signed a monster extension earlier this season to make him the highest paid nose tackle in NFL history. So there's examples like that, but then there's examples like tight end Robert Tonyan, who Thompson signed off the street as a free agent late in 2017 and spent the last several weeks with the Packers on the practice squad. And now it's taken a couple of seasons, but Tonyan has emerged as the Packers' second leading receiver on the team. Where would this team be without the contributions that Thompson made early on?
Well, and one person who has made a huge contribution that just returned to the team today was Tremont Williams. He's as responsible for them winning that Super Bowl in 2010 as anybody. And Thompson signed him off the street. So you look at Devontae Adams, maybe the greatest receiver in aside from Don Hutson in Packers history. Corey Linsley, he took in the middle rounds, all pro. David Bakhtiari took in the middle rounds, all pro. Kenny Clark, Pro Bowl player. Aaron Rodgers, of course, perennial. Aaron Jones, you know, middle round pick. Jamal Williams, middle round pick. I mean, you can just, those are all players who are going to be factors on Sunday. And Brian Gutekunst has done a great job building around those guys, but that's his foundation.
So we heard from general manager Brian Gutekunst and president / CEO Mark Murphy today, and they spoke about Thompson's legacy. And one of the things that Murphy said about Thompson was that he'll remember him for his calmness, I believe was one of the words, and also his humility. Tom, how did you see those factors manifest in Thompson, and what memories will stick with you as you know you continue along?
Well, he is unflappable. He believed in everything he did, and he thought everything through. There was nothing he did that was knee jerk. He listened to the people around him and made decisions. He was not the media's best friend by any stretch of the imagination. But I'll tell you this, as a reporter, he was not one of these guys who would not talk to the local guys, but then would, behind your back, talk to the national guys and give them scoops and things like that. If you knew someone, if someone reported that Ted Thompson was interested in someone, you knew it was not true because they didn't know. Nobody knew. Even Brian Gutekunst said today that Thompson used to bury guys on their draft chart just so his scouts wouldn't know who he was really interested in. And one of those guys was Jordy Nelson. And I have that in my column tomorrow on Friday morning. And other stories about drafting Aaron Rodgers. He knew he was going to take an enormous amount of crap for taking Rodgers. And he cleared it with team president Bob Harlan at the time. He said, look, we're going to be under siege. And he did it anyways. Those are the kind of things I'll remember about him. Though, for all the things he frustrated me about as being a reporter, the man was honorable. And he actually had a great sense of humor. And he was all about business. And I didn't have a problem with that. I would have loved for him to be more like Ron Wolf, but he wasn't. And that's just the way it is.
Do you have any particular favorite memories of interactions? Anything that stands out to you?
Yeah, I do. I actually have this interview with him in a hallway. And it was the one time he really just kind of opened up. And it was about hiring Mike McCarthy and how he had gone through that and what their meeting was like. And it was funny. I mean, it was about how they had gone out to dinner and Ted, he likes to go to sleep early, you know? And so they had like one drink and he left. And McCarthy was just stuck there with John Schneider at the time. But he talked about, if I recall, it was something about how McCarthy was dressed, and it was just really funny stuff. And to me, that was the best interview I ever had with him.
Well, it's been really wonderful to read all of the touching tributes on social media that we've seen from former players, former Packers front office members, and I'm really looking forward to reading your column tomorrow morning, Tom, as well. So suggest to everyone that they check it out. Two. Is there anything else we wanted to add on Ted Thompson before we move on?
Just, you know, it was difficult. The last months of his life were not quality, and many people expressed the hope that, you know, they're spiritual, that he's in a better place, that it was really tough to see. You know, he had this neurological disease and it took away the best parts of him. But you know, many of his people were loyal about staying in touch. And I think, you know, I think history will be very kind to him. I think later on, people will go back and they'll say, this guy did a phenomenal job.
It's amazing to learn more about his legacy as someone who's relatively new to the beat. So I've enjoyed, thank you for sharing, Tom. And thanks to everybody. We had a live stream earlier today and certain people were chiming in with their memories, their personal interactions with Thompson, just as fans too, and getting that experience as well. So it's been really special to learn a little bit more about him today. So let's move on to the task at hand for the Packers, the NFC Championship game. Before we get into that, though, the Packers made an interesting transactional move. They're bringing everyone back together. There's something about the Packers, the allure of players that once played for the team. And I suppose by that, I really just mean bringing back tackle Jared Veldheer to the roster just a week ago. But the Packers have brought back cornerback Tremon Williams, who spent 10 seasons with the team, including that Super Bowl win back in after the 2010 season. So that's looking to shore up some depth in the secondary. Williams had been released from the Baltimore Ravens, where he played 6 games this season. The Ravens cut him following their divisional round loss to the Buffalo Bills. So Williams back in the building. He was at practice on Thursday. What is the expectation for him going forward?
Well, I think it's insurance in case someone gets hurt. I would be surprised if they kept him up just to play special teams, because he's not really a special teams player. He did play a little bit for Baltimore, but tackling is not his forte. His forte is coverage, is covering guys. And I don't know if you would really benefit that much from having him in coverage. I'm talking about on special teams and punt coverage or kick coverage. I think he would be someone who, if you were having a problem or you really wanted some experience against Tom Brady, you might throw him in there as the dime back. You know, maybe you take Will Redmond out and you put Tremon Williams in that position. And plus, he's interchangeable because he's played safety before, too. So you could put Darnell Savage up on a guy and drop Tremon Williams. So I have a feeling that he will be active and play some on defense. If he is active, I expect him to play on defense. I don't expect him to play too much special teams. He could be a punt returner, but I have got that. Back in 2018, he had a really, right at the end of the year, a really crucial fumbled punt. I don't know if he's as reliable as he once was. I'm sure they had him fielding punts in practice, but we'll see what they decide to do there.
Yes, I asked special teams coordinator Sean Menenga today when he spoke to the media if that he had had that discussion with Tremon Williams now that he's back in the building. If Tremon Williams would be potentially used as depth, as a punt return specialist. And he said today, yes, Tom, he did field some punt returns after practice today. So it's all going to depend, of course, on whatever. There's a lot of factors that'll play into whether or not Williams ends up being their return specialist. It's the good chances is that he'll be there as insurance. However, good to know that Williams does have that experience if need be. So something to keep an eye on there. Williams was signed to the practice squad, so the Packers would have to elevate him for game day. The Packers active roster currently stands at 52 because tackle Jared Veldheer is still on COVID-19 reserve. However, the Packers could activate him if he is healthy enough to go as early as tomorrow. I believe tomorrow would be 10 days, and that's the minimum if he's symptomatic, which in theory, we don't know, but as we discussed on the podcast earlier this week, Aaron Jones kind of let it slip that it sounded like potentially Veldheer was symptomatic. So we'll see if the Packers are back to full health tomorrow, or back to full capacity on the roster tomorrow, or Saturday, whatever they ultimately decide to do. We'll see how Valdir is recovering. So that is that on the transaction update. Also worth noting that in order to sign Williams back to the practice squad, they had to release punter Ryan Winslow, who, as I mentioned on the podcast several weeks ago, we were middle school classmates. So kind of, you know, we'll never get to see him play in the Packers uniform, at least not this season. So just thought I would close that loop, bring that back into full circle. Yeah, that's all on that, Tom. So let's, anything you want to say about any of what I just said?
Well, my one thought was, it started my the wheels in my brain.
I could see it going.
If they have an open roster spot, is there someone that they've brought up from the practice squad who's out of options that they could bring onto the practice squad or onto the 53-man roster? And I'm just kind of going through it now. Well, you know, another option is James Burgess returned to practice this week, correct? They opened up his designated to return off of IR, and he was a core special teams player early in the year. And I wonder if they might bring him up to play some special teams, big linebacker that can run, that can't have too many of those guys.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, they also designated to, for return cornerbacks Kavion Ento and Perry Nickerson. So those are also some potential options, although, you know, there's a good chance that the Packers won't end up activating them and they'll just let them play out as extra bodies at practice for the rest of the season. The Packers have 21 days to make a decision on them. Then the season is the end of the season is rapidly approaching. So that's the transaction update for all of you today. Were you able to, I'm like looking at the practice squad, the guys that were brought up to the game day roster. I'm not seeing anyone.
Brian Price might be out of options. And so that might be a guy they bring up. He's on the practice squad. I believe he's been brought up twice.
Yes, he was brought up, I believe, last week against the Rams in addition to week 17 against Chicago. So he would be out of options. But also keep in mind, too, the Packers have the opportunity, if they decide to keep Valdir on COVID-19 reserve, they have the opportunity to use Price as a COVID-19 replacement on the roster from the practice squad. So he still wouldn't count against the active 53 just to keep that.
Unless they use it for Tremont Williams.
Right, right. But you wouldn't you think that they would use, if Price is out of call-ups and they want to.
Oh, correct. Yeah, you're right. You're right. And Tremont would just be a regular game day call-up. You're right. Yep.
Anyway, we're getting in the weeds here, but as we do on this podcast sometimes, but that's the state of the roster. Important to just keep you updated on that. So yeah, let's look ahead and start to have a discussion about this NFC Championship game between the Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm sure Packers fans are sick of hearing about the week 6 loss that the Packers suffered at the hands of the Buccaneers, but guess what? We've got to talk about it like a teeny tiny bit. And I'll ask you this question in this context, Tom, that maybe Packers fans won't hate so much, but how much stock are the Packers putting into that 38-10 loss that came all the way back in week 6 as they get ready for this game?
Well, they better be putting something into it because it didn't happen as a fluke. That's a good defense that got the best of them, that figured out what they like to do and took it away from them. And this defense is really good. Now, it hasn't been as dominant as it was that day. It did produce turnovers against New Orleans, but I also feel like New Orleans, Drew Brees was on his last legs and contributed to some of that. I think the Packers are a better team than New Orleans and will present more options to challenge them. But they can't ignore what happened in week 6. They got to learn from that. They got to figure out, okay, how has Tampa changed? and what are the weaknesses that we showed that they can exploit?
Well, one of the issues that the Packers had, among many issues, this was especially on offense, this was a real breakdown back in week six. You look at the final rushing numbers, the Packers ran the ball 21 times for 94 yards. What went wrong in that game, in the run game, and how can the Packers seek to improve upon it this weekend?
Well, it sort of started after Rodgers threw those two interceptions. Then they started to panic and thinking that they needed to score fast, and they didn't. They really needed to stay on a steady course. They had a couple of plays that if they had made them would have turned the momentum, at least it would have stymied the momentum that Tampa Bay had developed. There was a play where Mercedes Lewis was running right down the middle of the field unguarded, and Rodgers overthrew him. And another deep ball to Valdes-Scantling, and Rodgers kind of threw it a little too far to the left for him. Rodgers didn't play a good game. You know, they need him to play like he has been playing. And this defense can make quarterbacks pretty average. So I think what they learned was don't give up on the run game. If you're going to get Tampa Bay, you've got to be able to get their linebackers committed to playing the run so that your play action works.
One of the keys of that game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was throwing off this offense, the Packers offense, with their blitz. Defensive coordinator Todd Bowles is known for his ability to dial up all sorts of blitzes, sending corners, linebackers. I mean, you look at their inside linebackers, Lavonte David and Devin White, they combined for 2.5 sacks in that week 6 loss. How are the Packers going to try to address the blitz this time around?
Well, you know, and I asked Nathaniel Hackett about that today. You know, they actually didn't do that bad a job picking up the blitz until the second half when they lost Bakhtiari to an injury. And then, you know, they were far behind and Tampa just turned it up. But part of what they did was use maximum protection, and a couple times it backfired on them. They, you know, Tampa didn't blitz, and they had 7 guys to block 5, and then that meant they only had two or three guys running routes against 6 defenders. So it's really going to be a lot about a guessing game as to when they think they're going to blitz, and can they figure out a system where if a guy blitzes, like if a corner blitzes, you got to be ready for a hot read. You got to be ready for the ball. And I thought that's one of the things they didn't do very well in that game, was they didn't have a lot of options that if Rodgers was pressured, he could just dump the ball off. And I think we'll see more of that this time around.
At the start of the week, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur said of that week 6 game, that game is in the past. Obviously, they're going to watch the film. They're going to critique it. They're going to learn what they did well, learn what they didn't. But at the end of the day, that game was however many months ago, 2.5 months ago. And the Packers are a different team. The offense has come along since then. The defense has come along since then. How confident should the Packers be that they can perform, especially let's focus on the offense for now. We can get into the defense in a little bit. But how confident should the Packers be that the offense can perform as well as it did against the Los Angeles Rams last week, when they had a total of 484 net yards, and have a similar performance this weekend against the Buccaneers?
I don't think they should expect to get 494 yards. And of course, you know, they're going out there thinking they can score 50 points, but I don't think they need to get frustrated if they're not getting 50 points. I don't think Tampa Bay's offense is that great. And, you know, if you look at last week, look at where they started some of their drives. You know, they scored because their defense created turnovers and gave them great field position. I think the Packers can, you know, sort of hold serve with Tampa and So again, it goes back to don't panic. If you're not scoring a ton of points right away, stick with your run game, stick with your play action. You don't have to get really exotic or, you know, think you need to go deep every time. Stick with what your game plan is, because I think this is going to be a close game, and I think it's going to come down to maybe who has the ball last.
So one potential key player that may be making a return this week is defensive tackle Vita Vea, who was actually placed on injured reserve the week before the Packers played the Buccaneers in week 6. He was injured. He hurt his ankle week 5 against the Chicago Bears. Vea miraculously, he fractured his ankle and he's been designated for return. He started practicing this week with the Bucs and has the potential to be activated before this upcoming weekend's game here in Green Bay. So, Tom, although Vea hasn't played in a very long time, who knows what kind of game shape he's in at this point, how could he potentially make an impact on that Bucs defense, especially in the run game?
Well, let me say first that I kind of smell a rat. In all my years, I've seen where guys have tried to come back, you know, all of a sudden for the playoffs, and the team is either practicing them because they just want the threat of that guy, you know, so that you have to prepare for him, or that guy is going to play, but he's going to play like 10 snaps and he's not going to be all that great. So I could be completely wrong about this, and I have been wrong about it, but I'm just going to go with it and say, I don't think he plays, or if he does, I don't think he's as big an impact as you would expect, or he wasn't not as good as he was when he left. He's a force, you know, when he's playing good, he is a force in the middle. And then you team him with Ndamukong Suh, that is a lot of bulk in the middle. But, you know, one thing they could do is if Vita Vea does play, they can spread out Tampa and get him off the field, make Tampa play with their nickel defense, and then they'd have to take him off the field.
I need to know, Tom, what does a rat smell like?
Kind of my office, I guess. You know,
Trust me on this one. Good to know. Thank you for the update. I have not personally ever smelled, or I wouldn't know what a rat smells like, but I appreciate that. But anyway, you make a good point. So let's take a look at this Buccaneers offense as well, with quarterback Tom Brady at the helm. It's his first NFC championship game. Can you believe Tom Brady has never played in an NFC championship game? He's so inexperienced.
What a
rookie,
that guy.
He's only appeared in like 13 AFC championship games, but he's very new to this. The Packers have got a lot of experience on Tom Brady in conference championship games.
More NFC championship games than he has.
It is miraculous. But you look at Brady, I think one of the conversations that we've had, and a lot of the conversations that others have been having going into this game as well, you get Brady up here in the Green Bay weather. This guy has played so much of his career in New England, and he's seen all sorts of different conditions. That Brady in Green Bay, high of 28, 50% chance of snow on Sunday, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference. What kind of advantage do the Bucs have having Brady at the helm of their offense and having experience playing in Green Bay-like conditions?
I think there will be some players who are affected. I don't think Brady or Gronkowski are going to be affected. It's possible that some of the speedier guys, I don't think Ronald Jones is the kind of guy who's going to be affected. Mike Evans might. Chris Godwin is a speed guy. He might. I don't think their offensive line is big and physical, so I don't know that they'll have much of a problem. I think the one thing that's weighing in the Packers' favor is that it's supposed to snow overnight and into the morning. And so typically what they do is put the tarp on, and then they take the tarp off, and it's got some dew underneath it, and it can be slippery. You know, if they don't get the tarp off early enough to air it out, it can be pretty slippery. So that's the one thing the Packers know. And that would be the one advantage I think they'd really have.
Looking back to the week 6 loss, the Packers really had a hard time getting after Tom Brady. It looks like the pass rush only had 4 quarterback hits all day. Couldn't sack Brady once. These tackles, Tristan Wirfs, the rookie, especially Donovan Smith on the other side, have been really strong for Tampa Bay. How likely is it that Rashawn Gary, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith can dial up the pressure a little bit more against Brady, who's an aging quarterback and isn't quite as mobile as he once was?
Yeah, the key is going to be getting pressure up the middle. Kenny Clark is a huge player in this game, and I wouldn't be surprised if instead of Za'Darius Smith in the middle, they put Rashawn Gary in there a little bit more because of his strength. And they need push. They need push up the middle because Brady's not leaving the pocket. He's going to move around the pocket, but he's not going to leave it. And the best way to get to him is get up the middle. And so, you know, if Tampa Bay has to give some help inside, then the Packers will get those one-on-ones on the edge. I don't know how much blitzing Patton can do. There have been games where the Jets just blitz like crazy against the New England Patriots, and it worked. But this is a different offense, and if I was him, I'd get my corners up there, and I would bump, try to beat the rhythm of Brady, and blitz up the middle. There you go. There's the game plan.
Tom, once again, you're too good for us. You should be working somewhere else, making more money. So Tom is giving.
I should be doing exactly what I'm doing.
You're doing a great job. We're very lucky to have you.
I should not be in charge of any offense or defense in the NFL.
I'd love to see
it. I'm a good second guesser.
I would love to see maybe a flag football team, a touch football team. I think you have a real future.
You can come and see my little league team one of these days.
Absolutely. Post-pandemic, it'll be the first place I go.
Yes.
So the Buccaneers have plenty of weapons in their offense, especially at receiver, in Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Antonio Brown. Brown has been dealing with a knee injury he sustained last week against the Saints. He has not practiced once this week. He's considered day-to-day, will be a game-time decision against the Packers. However, Bruce Arians has made it very clear that Brown does not need to practice this week, that if he's healthy enough to play on Sunday, he will play, and he doesn't need the week of practice. I guess compared to all of the other receiving cores that the Packers have faced off against this season, where does this receiving core rank?
Well, it's better than the Rams receiving core. I'm trying to think of comparable, you know, Minnesota's receiving core when as Justin Jefferson was getting better and Thielen was healthy, it's pretty good. Kind of running a blank on their schedule and trying to think of who some of their bigger opponents. I think this is a group they have to be worried about, but I don't think it's okay, got to play cover two the whole game and worry about the wide receivers and give up on the run game. I think they're going to be able to play some man-to-man, and I think they're going to be able to do some blitzing. And, you know, Mike Evans is a scary guy. He's a big guy. He can run. But, you know, maybe they put Jair Alexander on him, or they just play it like they've been playing it. You'd like to see them be aggressive, at least try to be aggressive and see what happens.
In the run game this past week, the Buccaneers going up against the Saints used both Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones pretty evenly. Fournette had 17 carries for 63 yards. Jones had 13 carries for 62 yards. How likely is it that the Bucks try to attack with a similar plan using both of their backs interchangeably?
Absolutely. I think they will attack the Packers with those two backs. The Packers better be ready with Adrian Amos or someone near the line of scrimmage, which is what then raises issues, because how are you going to cover Gronkowski? So they do present some problems there, but the Packers just can't let them grind it out on the ground, because then that keeps the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands, and we know their run defense can be kind of shoddy sometimes, or has been shoddy and has just been better in the last couple of weeks. So I'd be concerned about Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones. They're a nice 1-2 tandem, kind of like Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. I don't think Ronald Jones is as good as Aaron Jones, but it's sort of a 1-2 punch there.
Well, the Packers have a 1-2-3 punch too, if you a third punch with AJ Dillon, who has been practicing in a limited capacity this week after he dropped out toward the end of the game last week against the Rams with a quad injury. I should not be evaluating anybody's anything in terms of from an injury standpoint, but it looks like he's moving around fine and the quad shouldn't impact his availability for this Sunday.
They might need him. They might need him a lot. They used him a little bit in that first game, and they used Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones together in about a dozen plays. I'll be kind of interested to see if they scrap that or if they think that that's a way to attack Tampa.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Tom, we don't usually do predictions on this podcast, so I won't put you on the spot. Usually we put our predictions up over on PackersNews.com the day before the game, the day of the game. But I will ask you, how likely is it that the Packers can move on past the NFC Championship game? It has been a very long time since they've won one of these, second straight year that the Packers are headed back. Is it possible? Is this the year?
Yeah, it's right there. It's right there for the taking. I think, someone told me today, someone in the league said the X factor is Todd Bowles, the Buccaneers defensive coordinator. His job is to slow down this offense. And if he can do it, then, the Packers could be in trouble. Aaron Rodgers has to play a really great game. I think he has to have one of his best games of the year. And if he can do that, then I think they're going to the Super Bowl. If Tom Brady outplays him, then Tampa's going to the Super Bowl.
That is how this works, after all. Do or die for the Packers and the Buccaneers this weekend. Anything else you wanted to hit on before we wrap things up for the day?
I think that's about it. We covered a lot.
I know that it feels like a marathon a little bit. The day's been a marathon.
And as we almost always end, special teams will be important.
Yes, J.K. Scott should not be pitching the ball back to his kicker in case the extra point attempt gets botched.
I missed Sean Menenga. Did anyone ask him about that today?
Oh, that was essentially all he talked about, or all he was asked about. That's not true, but it was the bulk of what he discussed. It sounds like Scott wasn't supposed to do that. I think he made a Menenga pretty much was like, that's on me. Got to coach him better. That was that. Don't try to hurt your starting kicker. Lesson learned. But anyway, hey, he's a gamer. He wanted to make a play. He thought, I don't know, something was going to happen. Don't just fall on the ball, I guess. So points for ambition, points taken away for hurting Mason Crosby, but Crosby has been limited in practice this week, so better than not being able to go in practice. So looking optimistic for his availability on Sunday. So anyway, thanks everybody for joining us, for listening to us. We appreciate it. Make sure you're checking out PackersNews.com for all of your Packers coverage. Subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts, we are there. you want to have us right in your feed anytime we upload. So make sure you're subscribed to us wherever you listen. For Tom, I am Olivia. We will see you next time.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.